Hello and welcome to another episode of How Very Hannah. Roll the titles.
How Very Hannah. How Very Hannah. How Very Hannah. That's the name from a podcast show and your front row. So How Very Hannah.
Hit the lights.
How Very Hannah.
That's too bright.
How Very Hannah.
That was all right.
Okay, it's my podcast show. Let's go.
Back in the studio, it's been an exciting week because when this comes out, we'll have just done the Birmingham show, which was a hit, wasn't it? I don't know, because it hasn't happened yet right now, but it will have. Musical Con will have happened. Oh my gosh. I hope that went well. Why does that scare me? Musical Con will have happened and my book will be out. This is, what is my life right now? They might have even announced what my next job is yet. Who knows? But I feel like it would have been maybe an exciting week. So I hope everyone's had a nice week. I am not wearing my engagement ring because it's still being resized, which is not ideal, but it's fine. Hopefully I'll get that back soon so that can be my sparkle of the day, because I don't know what my sparkle of the day is. I'll think of it later, maybe. So my next guest, who I'm very excited to sit down and chat with, is a friend, but she's also a star of stage and screen. She rose to fame when she won ITV's Mamma Mia, I Have a Dream, which was like a competition to find their next Sophie and Sky. And she played Sophie in the West End, leading lady vibes. Literally today is her first show as Andy Sachs in The Devil Wears Prada at the Dominion Theatre. So it's all happening for her. She is such a joy. She's a Scottish icon. That was awful. Hopefully she never hears that because she'll majorly judge me. No, she won't. No, she won't. And let's all give her a warm welcome to the podcast. Please welcome to the pod, Stevie Dock. Hey! Ah! Wait, Stevie Dock, is this stage name?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. What's your birth name?
My govvy name is Niamh Docherty.
Niamh? Mm-hmm. Wait, not even Stevie?
No.
What? Exclusive?
Yeah.
Niamh Docherty.
Niamh, yeah, Docherty.
Does anyone call you that?
My family now do, but I got started getting called Stevie because my family called me Stevie Dock.
Okay.
It kind of just went from like Niamh, Niamhy, Stevie. Like that's just kind of what happened.
Oh my God.
But then it was always Stevie Dock. It was never just Stevie.
Full name only.
Yeah.
Stevie Dock only.
Stevie Dock. Stevie Dock. So then when I had the opportunity to change my name, I didn't have to. Niamh Docherty wasn't taken. I could have.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So I could have just been Niamh Docherty. But
Stevie Dock is a really good
but
stage name.
It was also, it was my dad. My dad was like, you just have to.
There was people in my year at drama school that we had one teacher. We loved her, but she basically said, she went along the line and said, your name needs to change, your name needs to change. And it was like, people were like, okay. So people they changed their first name and their second name and just randomly made up names. And were like, okay, I'm now known as, which is fine. Like so get that happens quite often, right?
Oh, but my God.
It was crazy that they were like, yeah, your stage name isn't good enough.
That's crazy.
And I was like, I'm sticking with Hannah Lowther.
Yeah, Hannah Lowther's a good one though.
It's all right. No, I think call me Hannah Lowther. And it's getting like loathing and I don't love that. But we work with it.
Yeah, but surely you love that though.
Yeah, I don't mind. Loathing, she's stagey at the core.
Yeah.
Anyway, Stevie, welcome to How Very Hannah.
Hey.
Oh my gosh. So wait, we've known each other, not like, I actually think we just bumped into each other on the street.
We did.
I was like, hi!
I was literally leaving the theatre and you were going towards
Six. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just bumped into each other and I was like, stop.
I know.
And then we just ended up chatting for like 20 minutes and I was like, I actually need to go to work and you had somewhere to be
too. But also it felt like we should have met by that point, but we hadn't yet.
It's
so
like
strange.
You know those people that you meet and you just like, how have we only just met for the first time?
Yeah.
And also I have all these parasocial relationships with people that I think I know in real life.
Oh
and
my
I'm
gosh.
Like, oh no, I actually just follow you.
Yes.
Like, I don't actually know.
And I watch you post all of these things online, so therefore I feel like I know you.
Yeah.
But then,
and we did know each other.
Yeah.
You were heading to Mamma Mia, or you were going to the gym, but you'd come from Mamma Mia.
I think
or
I was going to
like
the gym,
that.
Yeah.
But Mamma Mia, you did a year
as
Sophie in the West End. Was that your first professional job?
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Like the way, where did you train?
Arts Ed.
Arts Ed.
Yeah,
stage you go.
Agree.
So I used to live in Chiswick.
Love Chiswick.
Chiswick's the nicest place, but I used to get terrified walking down by the station because all the Arts Ed students would come out and I'm like heading to six, like trying to keep it low key.
Oh
and
God.
I just used to get so scared that people were going to stop me and I just felt like, you know, when you just get a bit nervous and embarrassed and I was like, oh my
I
God.
Am the exact same now if I go back to Chiswick. I was teaching like during this past year.
Yeah.
I went back to teaching for a while and I was teaching back in Chiswick again because that's where I taught during drama school. And every time I had to come out of that tube station, I was like,
I hope no one sees me. But it's always from a place of love. Like people are like, oh my God, that's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But like sometimes I just, it makes me feel vulnerable.
Do you know what
just
it is?
A bit like, it feels like everyone's laughing at you.
Yeah.
But they're not.
Yeah. And it's also for me, like I really don't, I don't do well with the whole fan interaction sometimes of if you don't know someone and them speaking to you like they really know you. I find I get really overwhelmed with it sometimes, especially if I'm not expecting it. Like if I come out of a stage door, I kind of know that it might happen. But if it's somewhere where I sort of am in another show, as in I've gone to watch a show or like going back to Chiswick where I know everybody there goes to Arts Ed and probably knows that I went to Arts Ed, it's that thing of going, this just feels really, really awkward and I don't really, I don't enjoy, I don't know.
I know what you mean. It can be uncomfortable, right?
Like, I think it's also to do with, I can take compliments from people that I know, but when somebody that I don't know gives me a compliment, I don't know how to take it. I feel really like, I'm just not very good at that and I need to get better at being able to take compliments.
But that will come.
You know? Yeah.
That will come. And also like, I totally agree. Stage door interactions, I actually love because you walk out and you, most of the time I love, but you go out and you know what to expect and you know kind of what they're there to see and say, but sometimes you can be caught off guard. If I'm on the train and I'm sitting there, like this morning, like coming to this session, I was sitting there at 8 a.m. on the train like this. If someone were to stop me then and be like, oh my God, Hannah, I'd be like,
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to, you know, be the best version of myself.
Yeah.
And that's not us trying to be fake, but it is, I don't know, the version of yourself that you want people to see and kind of,
well,
yeah,
I mean,
it's weird. It's uncomfortable sometimes. But also, I would much prefer people come up to me and speak to me rather than go, because that makes me feel like I'm back at school and people are like, I feel like I'm being bullied.
And people are talking about you.
Yeah, but it's never that. It's always just like, oh my God, that's that Mamma Mia program.
Yeah.
And it's like, but to us, we're just being whispered about. And sometimes it's like, oh my God, please.
Like, please. Please, I know.
But it always comes from a place of love.
Yeah,
we love it.
Of course, sometimes I do think though, I'm like, I don't know if they don't realise where they, like why they maybe recognise me and that's why they're speaking. Because actually I was out for dinner literally last night and this girl just kept looking at me and I was going, are you just looking at me because you just want to look at me? Or are you trying to figure out if you recognise me or are you trying, I don't know. It was just such a weird thing when I was sat there going, I don't know why you're looking at me.
Yeah, it can be so uncomfortable. But also I think because the program I Have a Dream, which incredible because that's on ITV, which is such a mainstream platform, I think like that does reach a lot of people, right? And and people that aren't even necessarily theater fans to start with, so like you could bump into any of these people randomly, like you could be in a different country and maybe bump into someone who's watched that series. So about that series, I'm like, I grew up with, did you ever watch like The Sound of Music? How do you solve a problem like Maria?
Yeah. And but like, I didn't watch the Sound of Music one, unfortunately. The Oliver one is the one that I remember the most. I think I definitely remember seeing the Sound of Music one, but it was
before.
It's not something that I actually remember watching, you know, like I probably watched an episode or whatever.
Yeah.
But the
Oliver one. Wizard of Oz, the Dorothy one.
Yeah.
Like these programs were like staple. It was about time when the Mamma Mia one came along. It was like, it's about time we've missed this on our screens.
Yeah, it was like, it just disappeared.
It just
disappeared.
Where did
you go? Yeah.
And like, it was such good telly.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the amount of like superstars that have come out of those shows.
Sam Barks.
Sam Barks. Do you know what I mean? But like, wait, actually, let's get a list from... Was Sam Barks from the Oliver one?
Yes. Go on to the Oliver one because I swear all of them were just doing incredible.
I'd do anything. Was it ITV or BBC? I feel
Rachel Tucker was that one.
Yeah.
Rachel Tucker.
Isn't this great? It was in 2008. And actually, I'm going to just do a little plug here. I joined the cast of Oliver from this after this show.
Wait, when?
As a kid, as a workhouse kid.
When?
2008. Original cast. I'm on the soundtrack. You can hear me. No, you can't. Can you imagine?
Imagine.
So glorious. Yeah.
That's insane.
Like, I obviously loved the show because I was like, I'm going to join that cast.
Yeah.
And so it was a big deal. Anyway, final four, Rachel Tucker, Samantha Barks, Jessie Buckley and Jodie Prenger. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
Over the Rainbow. Was that what it's called?
I think so.
Wait till you see this one. I mean, I feel like most people watching this podcast probably already know, but I'm going to... Was that BBC or ITV?
Again, they were all BBC. This was the first ITV one.
This was 2010. Okay, finalists. Where are we? Contestants. Oh my gosh. Bronte Barbie. Why am I so bad at pronouncing people's names? I didn't know that she was in the final. Stephanie Davis. Do you remember her? She wore the yellow.
Yes.
And she's now in Hollyoaks, or she was in Hollyoaks. Oh my God. Steph Fearon. I used to love her. Lauren Samuels. She just played Elphaba in...
Yes.
American Tour of Wicked. Why did I forget what it's called? Evans, Danielle Hope. Like, these people, this is crazy. This is crazy. And the same thing, it hopefully will happen with I Have a Dream, Mamma Mia. I mean, you won.
It would be great if that was the case.
No, but you won. Like, you fully went and won that with Tobias. Sorry, I call him Toby.
I know, what so do you call I, him? Toby.
Tobias Turley. Tobias Turley.
Yeah.
Sorry, I find it so weird saying Tobias.
Yeah.
Toby Turley.
How do was you know, this experience I really wanted to set? Call my child Tobias at some point and now I can't.
Oh, no,
he's
no,
taking
can't.
It. No,
you
I
simply can't.
I cannot.
So how was the experience, a TV show like that?
It was genuinely one of the best things I think I've ever done.
Oh,
like,
good.
I thrived on that show, as in I... loved every single day. I wasn't stressed. Obviously there's a certain amount of stress you are in a competition.
Yeah.
But for me, I think I just went, well, I've got here. Let's just see what happens. And yeah. I didn't ever put the pressure on myself to win it. I sort of just went, well, I'll just do what I have to do for this week.
Yeah.
And I think that mindset is probably why I ended up winning it, because I never psyched myself out. And there was one episode where I definitely psyched myself out. But
we'll skim past that.
Yeah, that was a... We don't want to... That's one episode that if I'm ever going back to watch it again, I will just skip. Because that wasn't a good time. But I think maybe probably after that point as well, I sort of went, well, I can't really do anything worse than that. So I may as well just, like, enjoy it now. And the days were just fun. Like... Mm-hmm. We do this job because we love the job, you know?
Yeah.
So it's when you get to do that, plus get to go and do like workshops with these insanely talented performers. Like, the fact I even got to meet Sam Barks was just insane.
And now you're besties.
And then I got to do a concert.
That's crazy.
Which was ridiculous as well.
Yeah.
And to think in drama school, if someone had said that to me, I just don't think it ever would have been something that I could have believed, you know? And I left drama school, I think it was like a month or two early to do the TV show.
Wow.
So it was...
Was it an open audition or was it...
So it was...
Oh my God, we're getting the tea.
Yeah, so...
I was like, I'm locked in.
Yeah. So for the Sophies, if I remember correctly, no agents were allowed to be involved. You weren't allowed to be submitted. It had to come from you just sending in a tape. So immediately I went, that's never going anywhere. I have to send a tape to... essentially the ether. Like, I was like, that's
ITV.
No one's watching that tape. I don't know. In my head, I just went, who's actually going to sit and go through all of these tapes and also watch mine and decide that they liked that tape? I don't know. Because at that point, I hadn't really been seen by casting directors. You know, I'd done my...
Well, you were still at drama school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd done my third year shows, and David Grenrod, who did cast I Have a Dream, mm-hmm. came and watched my third year show.
Okay.
So... I don't know if that had anything to do with it, that maybe when I did send my tape, he recognised the name, or I don't know. But
yeah.
I genuinely believed that that tape was going off and no one was ever going to see it. So I sort of just forgot about it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it was like, I think it was like a month later or something like that. I then got an audition through.
On audition, did I just say?
An audition through. And then I honestly think it was, I can't remember how many rounds, I think it was something like eight. It was
a lot
with cuts on the day. So,
and that's eight rounds before you even make it to the actual competition.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was.
Because for so many shows, like for the show that I'm about to do, it was like three rounds and that was it. Do you know what I mean? To actually do the job.
Yeah.
So you had to do eight rounds before you could even be considered to audition for the job,
essentially.
For the job.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, I get it because it's, with TV and stuff, I guess it's more, you know, they have to vet you and make sure that you can speak well on camera and all of that.
That's another thing that I think a lot of people sort of forget is that as much as it was a competition to win Sophie, to get to that point, they obviously had people who were incredibly talented, but they decided on maybe people who were, like you say, were more likely to be able to talk on TV because it was also
good personalities for their show.
So I think that, you know, people always talk about like imposter syndrome and all of that stuff. A lot of my time spent on that show was me thinking that they only picked me because I can yap. Like I genuinely was like, they've only picked me because I can talk and that's it.
But embrace that.
But
Take it.
But then obviously to then win it, I was proved, well, then I had to obviously be sort of good to at least do that. So, and obviously even to get on it in the first place. And then I was looking around and to the people that I was competing against and they were all incredibly talented. So I don't know, it's kind of a hard thing. And even now, it's still a hard thing for me to deal with, you know, booking jobs. Because then I go, oh, is that just because I want a TV show and they want me because of that? And I don't know, it's just always...
The imposter syndrome can be real. My thing's, is it only because I've got TikTok followers?
I know.
But then I'm like, actually, no, enough other people think that I don't need to
you
add
don't
to
need
that
to.
And
no,
think that. Do you know what I mean?
Not.
Like, and the same for you. You know, even if people are thinking that or saying that, it's not our problem. We're getting in the room. So, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's not our problem to add to that fuel. Yeah. I say it in pretty much every episode, but let them think that. And I'm just going to decide that I'm not going to think that. And it's not true.
No,
you know?
I'm getting better at it, but it's still there, you know.
It is hard. So you won the show.
Yeah.
You did a year as Sophie in the West End. Mm-hmm. Good year.
It was actually 9 months.
Oh, 9 months. Mm-hmm,
because by the time the final had come, they'd already changed the cast 3 months before. Well, no,
right.
2 months before.
I see.
So then we had like 3 weeks to rehearse and get put in. So they kept on the Sky and Sophie from the previous cast for like that extra 3 months.
Yeah.
So then we could just come in and
take over. Like, yeah. I see. And now, I mean, you've done bits here and there, right? Concerts and other jobs, but you're about to play. You say it.
I'm about to play Andy Sachs in The Devil Wears Prada.
That is such a flex. That is such a slay. Round of applause in the studio.
Thank you.
When I saw that cast announcement, we were talking about this just before we started filming. I was like, wait, hold that thought. When I saw the cast announcement, I screamed because I never know what is going on in these casts. I feel like in the industry, everyone knows everyone's business. Like my news, you probably already know.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I'm
going to cry.
I just assume that everyone, I don't know, I can't speak, it's making me sweat talking about it, but I had friends message me being like, Hannah, have you got news for me? Because they'd found out what my next job was through someone else's friends, cousins, dogs, aunties, fish.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that's so annoying. Like, I wanted to tell you myself.
Yes!
And like, now you found out through someone else. And and it's not my friend's fault, or it's not, you know, things just happen. But I feel like gossip in the industry just gets around. And I hadn't heard a thing about your news. So when I saw the cast announcement, I was like, ah! And it's just like the best news ever. So you're currently week 3 rehearsals?
End week 3, yeah.
And how many more weeks have you got?
Next week's tech.
Oh, okay. So like last week of rehearsals, technically, kind of now.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be a leading lady in the West End for another year?
Yeah, a year.
Oh. That is just incredible.
It's amazing. It is amazing. It's. I watched the show in spring because it was their spring, Florals for Spring event that I went to. So I watched it then. So quite a while ago. And I remember watching it and thinking like, oh, if Georgie leaves, I was like, this could be like, I could see myself in that part. And then my boyfriend auditioned for it a couple of months ago for the, like, for ensemble covers. And immediately I was, like, on the phone to my agent being like, is Georgia leaving? Can I go in? Can I audition, please? I would really love to be seen for Andy.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, they've not started casting the leads yet. Like, we'll let you know. I think Georgie, I've actually had a conversation with Georgie since, and she was, like, still deciding whether or not she wanted to leave. So.
And Georgie... This is Georgie Buckland, who's now playing Janice in the Mean Girls tour.
Yeah. Which actually, when I was talking about, I posted a TikTok about like, oh, new job reveal coming up soon. So many people thought it was KD.
Oh, really?
So many people thought it was KD, which I was kind of happy about because nobody knew that it was Andy. I mean, a couple of people did. I mean, I would love to play KD one day. That is literally my dream role.
KD Heron.
Would be KD.
I can see that one day.
Yeah. So I'm like waiting for it to come back now. And I didn't get, that's twice now I've not been able to audition for
it. Oh, really?
Because first time, Mamma Mia. Oh, second time, I'd booked this. So it will happen for me one day. Yeah, but right now,
it just hasn't been right yet.
Yeah, but that's okay. And also right now, I'm about to do a really cool job anyway. So yeah. It's fine.
In London with your boyfriend.
With my boyfriend, yeah. So he'd started doing the audition process. He booked it before I'd even started auditioning for it. Oh, so it was like about a month after he'd booked it that I even got my... No, a couple of weeks after he'd booked it before I even did the first round for Andy. So it was... Yeah, and then when I did book it, it was just... It's just really cool to know that he's second cover Nate, so...
Oh my God, so you're going to end up probably going on together.
Hopefully.
That's so cute.
But yeah, I mean, that'll be a really cool day when it does happen. But it's also really nice that when it does happen, it'll be a really special day, you know? And
I'm like, you'll tell your kids.
Yeah, yeah. But also that, like, right now, I'm Keelan is playing Nate. Yeah. And it's been so lovely to work with him because he's literally best pals with Toby and I've just worked with Toby. So it's nice that they sort of feel like the same person a lot of the time, which is really nice. So
Toby and Keelan are the same person now. Is that what you mean?
Oh, yeah. Literally, I said, Toby FaceTimed me the other day and he was like, oh, how are you getting on? Like, how are you getting on with Keelan? And I was like, he's you with a Canadian accent.
That's so funny.
It's been really, really nice working with him. It's nice to also know that, you know, if I was doing it with Harry every day, it would be amazing. But, you know, that when that day does happen, it's going to be such so a special. Big day, you know? Whereas if we'd booked the job and we're doing it together every single day. I mean, we now live together, we'd be working together and we'd be acting opposite each other. Like,
yeah, how's that going to work?
Yeah, that from literally a couple of months ago, he was still living in Germany and we'd been doing long distance for almost 2 years. Like, it's gone from one to the other. So
I feel like this was meant to happen. Yeah. It's worked out so well.
Yeah, the universe finally decided it was... Time to give us a break.
Yeah, and hopefully I'll get an invite to press night.
Yeah.
And I'll be there cheering you on. I can't wait. Hannah's hotline. Bow, bow, bow. Okay. Oh, the phone's ringing. Quick, get it, Stevie Doc. Full name.
Hello. Hi, guys. What are your non-negotiables on two show days?
Ooh, interesting question.
Thank you, caller. I will call you back.
Yeah. I love that everyone's just on board with hanging up.
Yeah, we'll answer.
We're not faking.
No. Non-negotiables, two show day. For Mamma Mia, I did not go out in between shows. Unless I really, really had to, if I'd forgotten food or whatever. But usually, if that was the case, I would order food.
Yeah.
But I didn't really do stage door between shows. Mostly because, for me, my voice goes... quicker from speaking than it does from singing. So especially if I'm outside and I'm really trying to, and I've just done a show, my voice is already probably going to be quite tired. Then I would come out, speak to everybody. And I did do it at the start and I realized very quickly that I couldn't keep that up because my voice just wouldn't have been able to hold up from that. And it was unfortunate because I had a lot of people message and say, like, I missed you and didn't get to see you at stage door.
Yeah,
but
it's just tough.
But at the end of the day, I have to do my job. So yeah. I didn't do it, especially in this job. I don't think I'll be doing it either because this show is vocally ridiculous. So
the Andy, the vocals are crazy.
I didn't realise, when I watched it, I knew it was tough, but now doing it, I'm like, whoa, she's really tough. Stage door and on a two show day in between, I
can't.
I'm likely to not do that. Just for my, I just have to preserve the voice.
Yeah, rest as much as possible between shows. I know people that have like non-negotiables on two show day is a half an hour nap between shows.
Yeah,
because like that helps them fully rest their voice for half an hour, which I've never done. I think if I napped between shows, I'd be like, no, I've got to wake up.
Yep. I couldn't do the
show. I wouldn't be able
to
wake back up. And like, you then have to, in between shows, would you do another warm up, another stretch? Like, what's your kind of vibe?
For Mamma Mia, no. Mm-hmm. I sort of, with Mamma Mia, I was also sharing a dressing room with Jesse and Liv, with my Ali and Lisa. So I think it was a bit of a different situation because, I don't know, I probably, they would have been absolutely fine with me doing any sort of like cool down and warm up. But I think I don't know. I just, in my head, I was like, I don't really want to start giving it right now when everyone's here and trying to have their lunch. And Liv would also, usually, Liv would go for a nap between shows.
Yeah.
So it was a bit more of a, because then where would I go and do that sort of thing?
Yeah.
I think with Devil Wears Prada, I probably will do, I've been given a vocal cool down by my vocal teacher now, my singing teacher. So I will probably cool down and then re-warm up because I think, I don't think my voice would survive.
Just reset from the start again. What sort of, like in between shows, I have to be so specific with what I can eat because if I eat, it's tough because if I eat too much, I then feel sick for the show. And it's actually not a very big gap to like let it go down. But if I don't eat enough, I need, you know, you need the energy. So like I will have like, my favorite thing, not sponsored, was like the Thai green. The people from Six are going to laugh at this because they were like, Hannah, why do you have that every day? I'm like, I don't know. It's just, I stick with what I know.
Yeah.
It's a Thai green curry, the gym kitchen, like ready meal. And I just used to have that every two show day, pretty much, unless I was getting like a Wagamama or something. But even then, if I have a Wagamama, I love Wagamama. If I have it, it's like repeating on me through the whole show. Like the katsu sauce, I'm like,
you know,
oh, you want it? It's not good. So like, I have to have something like as soon as the show comes down. I would normally, it depends on how I'm feeling, but I would do stage door, then come back in, eat straight away, and then just like let it settle. Have some like plain crackers or like some fruit and stuff like that, just to like let it settle. But like, I have to eat like a proper meal between shows.
Oh my
otherwise,
gosh.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. I think at the start of Mamma Mia, I'd never had like stomach problems before ever.
Yeah.
Started Mamma Mia and I just, so many things I just became intolerant
to.
And I don't know if it was like the adrenaline, constant stress, adrenaline that my stomach just went, you can't eat these foods anymore.
Oh my
so
God.
I became lactose intolerant. I couldn't eat like cruciferous vegetables.
What the heck is that?
Cruciferous vegetables.
Cruciferous vegetables.
Yes.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's like broccoli. Yeah, I know. I literally broke my heart. It's my literally favourite vegetable.
What about carrots?
I can eat carrots.
Phew.
Carrots are good.
What peas?
Peas are fine.
Okay.
Peas are fine.
What's that bad?
But can't have like broccoli, cauliflower.
Anything that looks like a tree?
Pretty much. Cabbage.
Kind of tree-ish.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, or kale, actually.
Okay.
Which, when you go and get a salad from anywhere, it usually has kale in it.
Yeah.
Which is, and also a lot of like Asian food would have like bok choy.
Yeah.
Can't have that.
Cabbage. It's tough. It's,
honestly, it ruined my life because I love
cruciferous vegetables.
I didn't realize. You know what? You know, sometimes it just takes something to be taken away from you till you realize that
what
actually,
you truly
had. Yeah, what I had.
Was so good.
It was so good. So yeah, I would have to be really careful about what I eat as well.
Yeah, non-negotiables would be a good meal between shows.
Yeah.
A nice re-warm up for me. Or a little stretch maybe. But not a nap. I can't do a nap. And I need to get better at like meal prepping. Because on a two show day, it can be like a 40 pound day in terms of food.
Easily.
Like I'll rush, because you're leaving earlier than usual, I'll rush to leave the house so I won't have breakfast at home. I'll get a little breakfast from Pret and a coffee. That's a tenner. I used to go to Sainsbury's before the show, buy loads of like snacky bits just to have throughout the show, right before the show, a little bit after, stuff like that. Rice cakes, fruit winder, fruit roll-up things, like just loads of stuff. That's another 10 or 15. And then lunch, like it ends up being expensive.
Oh my
gosh. My next job, I need to meal prep. I need to organize my life so that we're thriving. Because my quiz book, Les Quiserables, has been released now. I'm going to quiz you on.
Yay!
Have we got Devil Wears Prada in here?
Oh my gosh.
No, we don't, but we do have Mamma Mia.
Okay, cool. That's fine.
So
I should really do this.
I'm going to quiz you on Mamma Mia. And if you don't get it right, then I'm massively judging. No, I'm kidding.
You should. I really should.
We've got the easy. I think you're going to be fine with the easy. So let's go straight to Superfan.
Okay.
I'm not going to ask them all. Okay. On what fictional Greek island is the show located?
Kallikeri.
Correct!
Yes!
Who is the first of Sophie's potential fathers to offer to walk her down the aisle?
Belle. Wait. No, I'm scared. No, I'm trying to think about the show when I go through.
It is Bill.
Oh, don't do that to me.
I stressed you out. No, it is Bill. I'll ask you one more. This is more about the songs. Okay. Oh, wait, let me just look
scared.
At the answer first.
So you really got me there. I really thought
I was
wrong.
Like,
I was like 90% sure and then you said that and I completely backtracked.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you'll get this. How many times during Voulez-Vous do we hear, A, I'll give you multiple choice. A, 10, B, 30, or C, 50?
50. 30 is 30, isn't it?
It's 30.
Oh, I was, couldn't be bothered calculating anymore.
But you actually, did you go from the start of the song?
Well, I went, it's probably about six every time they do like that bit. And then I went, so it's probably 30. And I went, oh, it's a trick question, it's probably 50.
No, it is 30. Okay. No, I think you did pretty well.
Okay.
Did you hear that? I think you did pretty well.
Thanks.
There's also some little fun facts in here about the show.
Oh my God, tell me.
The writer and director have said that Sophie's father is actually Bill.
Yes.
Oh, you knew that, right?
Sorry.
I just love ABBA. Yeah. I think I talk about it in the book, but I feel like people who don't enjoy ABBA music, like, I don't trust them.
I so understand that.
What is there not to like?
What is there not to like?
And also the ABBA franchise is so amazing now. We've got like Mamma Mia. Yeah. We've got the films. We've got The Party. We've got ABBA Voyage. They're cashing in.
Yeah. As they should be.
Yeah, true. They are.
They're phenomenal.
Yeah. And they came from Eurovision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I want to see that same energy for Remember Monday.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
With musicals. Exactly.
Like live parties.
Yeah. Like 50 years' time, there's like a Remember Monday musical.
Oh my God. I'm here for it. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Stevie Doc, full name, for joining me. Wait, remind me of your Niamh
Doherty.
A super spy, it's a that secret. I know that it's a secret, it's a but I've secret. Just told everyone who that's listens okay. to the podcast. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Okay, good. But call her Stevie because that's, yeah,
that's my professional name.
Professional stage name. Thank you so much for joining me. You can catch Stevie from what day?
The 21st of October.
That's so soon. I don't want to freak you out. From the 21st of October in The Devil Wears Prada at the Dominion Theatre for a whole year.
Yeah.
Leading lady vibes. We love to see it. Wait, okay. Producer Sophia has just told me that this podcast is coming out on the 21st of October. So from today, break a leg tonight.
Thanks so much.
Tonight, you're like, we've not even started tech
please
yet.
Take.
Hold your horses. Yeah, you're the new Andy Sachs from tonight. So go and support and make sure to like, comment, subscribe, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And yeah, that was all I had to say. I didn't do my sparkle of the day. My sparkle of the day is Andy Sachs in The Devil Wears Prada. Thanks for watching. Bye.